Merry Christmas, everyone. My name is Yoan. I get the privilege of serving as one of the pastors here. And let me just start by saying one of the things I love about Christmas is I have a 6 and a 4 and a 2-year-old, and I'm an old man now, so I got an old Santa Claus beard, and having little kids has reinvigorated the joy and wonder of Christmas. And one of the things that we love is we love driving around and looking at the Christmas lights. So how many of you put up Christmas lights on your house? Have you paid someone to put Christmas lights up on your house? All right. I want to say thank you. Thank you for doing that for us. We love it. And we were driving last night, and we were stopped at an intersection. My daughter looked over and said, "Oh, Papa, is that the house with the creepy girl who swings with the red eyes at Halloween?" I was like, yes, that's the house. And my son goes, "Papa, why do they put scary things up on Halloween?" And I was like, well, he goes, wait, I know. Because scary things are from the darkness, right? And I was like, oh, that's pretty profound. Yes, that's exactly why. Yeah, that's exactly what I was going to say. Yeah. I have little kids, so they are a little bit, sometimes they're afraid of the dark, right? And what do we say to the kids who are afraid of the dark? A lot of times it's their room, and you're like, there's nothing wrong. There's nothing scary in there. It's just your room, right? There's nothing to be, there's no monsters in your closet. It's okay. It's just the dark. You know where it is. But as we grow up and we get older, we kind of realize that the darkness is not that scary sometimes. If you find yourself walking down a street and there's a dark alley or a lighted way, which one are you going to choose? If you said, "I don't want to go down that dark alley," and someone said, "Don't worry, it's just the dark, there's nothing to worry about," you would say, "I don't think so," right? I remember one time when my first combat deployment to Iraq, I was on a PFC, so I was the one receiving orders, I wasn't one giving them, and they received some intelligence that the next Marine patrol that was going to patrol through the market was going to get ambushed. And so what did Marines do? They said, "All right, tonight we're patrolling through the market." And they said, my squad was going to be the one that was going to do it. Now, I was rear security. There was 13 of us. I was the last one. And so I was the new guy, so I didn't have any NVGs. I didn't have a laser on my weapon. I just had me and my gun and my guys. And so we walked through this market, and I couldn't see anything. All I heard was some noises. All I heard was, saw my guys in front of me. They could see, because some of them had some night vision goggles. But what did I see? Darkness. What was I waiting for? What did I think was out there? A very real enemy. And some very real potential harm and pain. Now, I'm grateful that that was one of the many times in which nothing happened. We walked right through, came back, and I went to bed. Thank God. But as we got older, we realized that the reason that darkness is a little bit scary, even for grown-ups, is because there is some real darkness in darkness. Darkness is a great way to look at the way in which humanity has sort of broken the world in which we have decided to live in. Darkness is scary for us as grown-ups even because there is a lot of darkness in the human heart, and that darkness of the human heart shows up in all sorts of painful, terrible ways. And as much as we try, we are never going to fix our own darkness. There will always be darkness in the world. This is why I love the candlelight service, because it's a reminder that God's story doesn't leave us in the darkness. God's promise doesn't leave us in the darkness. In fact, if you were to look at the entire story of God's interaction with humanity, it is God's continual pursuit to eradicate darkness and the darkness of darkness with light. We see it from the very beginning, right? In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. What did he do? Let there be light. And there was light and there was darkness, day and night, right? No moral value added to that. But he brought light out of darkness. If you go further in his story with humanity, he makes a covenant to Abraham. And what does he have Abraham do? He has Abraham look up to the sky, and he wants him to count the number of stars. And that's how many descendants you're going to have. Look up at the beautiful lights in the sky, and that's what it's going to be, innumerable amount. Even Abraham, there's a torch. His covenant is marked by a torch walking through a sacrificed animal. The story of Moses, God rescues his people, and as they walk through the wilderness towards the promised land, what? And during the day, it's a cloud, and during the night, it's a pillar of fire, lighting the way. Even David in his poetry mentions that the Lord's word is a light unto his feet and a lamp unto his path. And as you've read already this morning, Isaiah prophesied about a future light that would come that would crush the darkness. God had a history of revealing himself to his people through light and demonstrating that the darkness is not the only experience that they are going to have, that his purpose is to shatter the darkness and to show up with light. But then something funny happened for the people of Israel, is that suddenly God stopped showing up. In fact, he stopped showing up for 400 years, give or take. And during those 400 years, God's people, who he promised to bring out of the darkness, experienced terrible darkness. They were conquered, they were reconquered, and eventually they find themselves under the rule of a very authoritarian, abusive, oppressive Roman Empire. But in typical God fashion, that's not where the story ends. Suddenly, God shows up in light again, in a very pronounced way. On one random evening, a bunch of shepherds are hanging out in the darkness in the field. Anyone ever been to a place where there's no cities around and you just get to look up at the sky full of stars, but also very dark? And what happens? A host, the sky explodes with light as a host of angels start singing and proclaiming the coming of the Messiah. And they say, Emmanuel, God with us. They say, they declare this incredible miracle of the Messiah's coming. And then we see something a little more subtle. There's a star in the sky, a light that lights up. A unique light that lights pierces the darkness that invites and attracts these three wise men from a very, very long ways away. Some say it took them almost 3 years to get there, as you read the story of what King Herod did to all the kids under three. That's when the wise men showed up. And so God shows up and he pierces the darkness, declaring that he has come back to rescue his people. And that's what Christmas is. We get to sing these beautiful songs. We're going to hold a candle up to remember God piercing the darkness and coming back and remembering his promise for his people. But then something unique also happens. After Jesus is born, after all the hoopla of Christmas, there's another season of silence. About 30 years of silence in which Jesus grows up like any other kid would grow up, like you and I would grow up. Until he starts his ministry. And it is when Jesus begins his ministry that the presence of God, the eradication of darkness, truly begins. He shows up, and what does he do? He heals the sick. People who could not walk are walking. People who could not see are seeing. He raises the dead, his friend who was dead and buried, back to life. And Jesus declares himself as the light of the world. He says, I am the light of the world. Whoever follows me will not walk in darkness, but will have the light of life. But darkness is not going to go down quietly. Darkness, the darkness of the human heart, decides that this will not stand, this cannot stand. So what do? They put him on a cross and they kill him. And they bury him in a dark, dark cave. And they celebrate. They think they won. But then light comes shining forth again as Mary and Martha, they go to the grave, and what do they see when they expect to see a dark, lifeless tomb? What do they see? They see two men in the darkness in dazzling appearance. And they say, "Why do you seek the living amongst the dead?" Jesus shows up as a little tiny baby, not in the way that people would expect him, not in the way people would expect the light to conquer the darkness. He did not come with a flaming sword. He did not come with a host of angels behind him, destroying his enemies. He came as a little baby in obscurity, declared himself to be the light of the world, overturned the world, healed people, raised people from the dead, cared about people that nobody cared about before in the history of humanity, died and rose again, and ascended into heaven. And the two dazzling men said, "Why do you seek the living amongst the dead?" Darkness was defeated entirely and completely by the light of Jesus. And we love Christmas, and we love this candlelight ceremony because it reminds us that this is part of God's story of how he made a promise thousands of years ago to defeat the darkness with light. And that's what he did. He reminds us also that we do not need to be afraid of the dark anymore. See, you and I, you sitting here, you are the person that Jesus came to the earth for. He came as a little baby for you. He lived his life. He died on the cross. He rose again, and he shattered the darkness so that you could walk in the light. Now, I don't know, you might be someone who doesn't have any faith, and you might be trying to find your own way with your own flashlight through life, through the darkness. We would invite you to consider what it might look like to investigate how Jesus himself is the light in the dark. Maybe you're a Christian here. Maybe you are in a season where you feel like, "Man, I feel like God has gone silent in my life. Where are you, God? I believe that you're the light, but I just feel like I can't see it right now." We know that God's at work in your life. We invite you to remember the faithfulness of God as evidenced in a little baby. And so we are going to light our candles. Don't do it yet. But as we do, I want you to think about where your heart is. What is it maybe that you are, if you're a Christian or not, maybe what is it that you are trying to flash around as a small flashlight to make your way through this life? Are you reliant on the sufficiency of your identity in Jesus to light your way? Are you trying to fight the darkness on your own? And so as we light these candles and we're going to sing this song, make it a prayer in your heart to say, "Heavenly Father, just reveal to me yourself. Remind me of your goodness. Remind me of your sufficiency. And take your eyes off of your problems and off of the darkness and raise them to the light. And when we see the beautiful light of Christ, everything else becomes less and less difficult and less daunting because we see the beautiful sufficiency of Jesus who came as a baby, died, rose again, and is here for us." So let's turn on our light. You can, if you want, you can pretend to light your neighbor's candle. But let's sing Silent Night together. as we remember the beauty of Jesus tonight.